Well, welcome. I think I'll call the proceedings to order. Today is a great day and a special day in the history of Cornell University as we celebrate a wonderful new gift to the university and all that it will mean for a critical area of academic endeavor within our College of Agriculture and Life Sciences and for the university as a whole. I want to begin by welcoming and thanking John Dyson, Cornell Class of 65, an emeritus member of the Board of Trustees, a presidential counselor, and for the last 4.5 years, a friend and a very important mentor to me. I want to thank John for the generosity that you and your family have shown Cornell over many years and for this most recent extraordinary vote of confidence in the university and in this wonderful college, the details of which have just been finalized in the last several days. John, we are honored and privileged that you could make the trip to Ithaca on short notice to be part of these festivities and to be recognized for all that you've done. Earlier this spring, our faculty proposed to raise the stature of applied economics and management at Cornell, which, as many of you know, over the past century has earned a national and international reputation for the breadth of its research, the quality of its research, as well as education and outreach. By supporting its evolution into a full-fledged school of applied economics and management within CALS. I'm pleased to announce today that John Dyson, in partnership with his brothers Peter, who's a Cornell parent, and Rob, MBA 74, and John Moran, a former partner of their father's, and the Dyson Foundation, have stepped up to turn aspiration into reality by making a $25 million gift to Cornell. This truly extraordinary gift at an extraordinary time provides remarkable support for AIM and its undergraduate business program, already ranked consistently in the top 10 in its field at a very, very critical time in the program's growth and development. The gift will enable AIM to further enhance its programs while building important new relationships to other business, management, and economics-related schools and departments and colleges at Cornell. And it serves as a powerful example of the devotion that so many Cornellians have for their alma mater, even in difficult economic times. And perhaps it's fitting that we're making this announcement just before reunion weekend. In recognition of their extraordinary generosity, the Executive Committee of the Cornell Board of Trustees has agreed to name the new school in honor of the family patriarch, Charles H. Dyson. And for those of us who have been privileged, as I have, to spend time with John and his siblings and other family members, you will know that the Dysons are a close-knit family for whom leadership and philanthropy and vision are a way of life. Both here in Ithaca and at our Weill Cornell Medical College in New York City, Cornell has been the beneficiary of their exceptional leadership and their vision and extraordinary, extraordinary financial support for more than 3 decades. I want to go back and retrace some of these historic steps. The Dyson Foundation's first gift to Cornell was a $5,000 scholarship to support entering freshmen in CALS made in 1962, shortly after John matriculated as a student here. Over the years, the scholarship has expanded to support many more students from Dutchess County, where the family has strong roots. The late Ann Dyson, John's, Rob's, and Peter's sister, was a member of the Weill Cornell Board of Overseers and head of the Dyson Foundation for several years. Personally, and through the Dyson Foundation, John and his family have supported a wide variety of activities and programs in CALS, in the Johnson School, and at Weill Cornell, and often they have appropriately honored family members at the time of the giving. For example, in honor of Charles Dyson's 80th birthday in 1989, his children, through the Dyson Foundation, established the Margaret M. Dyson Vision Research Institute at Weill Cornell Medical College in honor of their mother, who shared Charles's life for nearly 50 years, and also the Charles H. Dyson Professorship here at the Johnson School. In honor of John's 60th birthday a few years ago, Rob, through the foundation, established the John S. Dyson Professorship in Marketing in CALS. In 2006, the Dyson Foundation provided a $5 million grant to the Department of Ophthalmology at Weill Cornell, and there is now a Dyson Family Ophthalmological Floor in the Weill Greenberg Center at 70th and York. Hope you have a chance to see that floor in that beautiful building. The following year, the Dysons made another substantial gift to fund the Dyson Scholars Program, which benefits undergraduates in AIM's Undergraduate Business Program and those AIM graduates who pursue graduate work at the Johnson School. Today, we are honored and privileged to mark yet another milestone in the Dyson family's history and the history of Cornell by celebrating the creation of the Charles H. Dyson School of Applied Economics and Management at Cornell, which has the potential to transform an already strong and increasingly highly ranked program into one of the best and best recognized in the world. John, for your perceptiveness, for your vision and generosity, we and generations of future Cornellians stand forever in your debt. I want to informally thank the audience for helping me make John even more uncomfortable at this morning. And now I invite our wonderful provost, Ken Fox, to share some thoughts about the importance of this in the context of business management and economics education at Cornell. Kent.
Thanks, David. And I want to just start by adding my enthusiastic thanks and gratitude to the Dyson family, particularly you, John, and for the verbal sparring we've had the fun of being engaged in over the last couple of months. Thank you very much. We will continue. You know, in the audience today are members of the faculty, particularly the Department of AIM, the School of Applied Economics and Management, leadership of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, but also deans, Joe Thomas and others from other members of the management and business education programs here at Cornell. We have a lot of breadth of excellence in this area at Cornell. It includes AIM, obviously, but also the Johnson School, the School of Industrial Labor Relations, programs in hotel administration and across the university. AIM is our best example of a school now that represents Cornell's legacy of having excellence in scholarship, fundamental research, but also applications to making a difference in the world globally and in society as well as the state of New York. This gift allows us to make an impact that'll be much more significant than we have been able to do in the past. It's a gift that truly will be transformational, not only within AIM and not only within the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, but for management, business education, applied economics across the university. So we are particularly excited. Only 9 years ago, AIM was an unranked, unaccredited business program at Cornell. Now it's one of two accredited Ivy League undergraduate business programs by any metric, ranked in the top 10 of undergraduate business programs, and just a spectacular program that now will indeed be number one worldwide. And we're just so grateful for the impact of the Dyson family and the fact, John, this is now being named after your father, Charles Dyson. We're very, very grateful and have a lot of gratitude. And not only do I want to offer my thanks, but I also want to offer my congratulations to Dean Susan Henry, who did a lot in helping to make this happen. Susan?
Oh, thank you, Kent. And I need to add my thanks to John Dyson and the whole Dyson family. It's impossible for me to say what the support that John has provided personally and the entire family to the college and to me personally as dean. John, having served for a number of years on the College Advisory Council and as its chair, and having made so many contributions in very tangible and even more intangible ways by his leadership, I have really benefited from working with you, John, and the college as a whole has benefited from your leadership. And I thank you on behalf of everyone here for all that you've done. I thought I would take a few moments to say a few words about the unique history of our program in applied economics and management here at Cornell. The Charles Dyson School of Applied Economics and Management will trace its history to the very earliest days of Cornell and the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. our first, one of our first deans, Liberty Hyde Bailey, had one of his first graduate students, George Warren, for whom Warren Hall is named. And Isaac Roberts, who preceded Liberty Hyde Bailey, together with Liberty Hyde Bailey, pioneered the use of a scientific approach to farming, which included making it profitable, which is where the Department of what was then what grew to be agricultural economics and is now applied economics and management came in. And truly, making it profitable is one of the most important aspects of agriculture. Under George Warren's leadership, the Department of Agricultural and Economics and Farm Management, as AIM was then called, led the study of farm management and agricultural pricing and marketing into the 1910s and 20s. In the decades that followed, the department also became prominently involved in other areas, including farm credit, monetary policy, food marketing, international development, resource and environmental economics, and entrepreneurship. Today, the department is a highly regarded leader in practical and applied economics and management tools on every continent to solve the world's most significant business and social issues. And I must stop calling it the department. It's now the school, but I haven't quite gotten used to that yet. AIM faculty provide intellectual leadership in an increasingly important discussions about alternative and renewable energy, international monetary policy, global development, consumer behavior and psychology, and management of business from farms and to entrepreneurial startups to global corporations. The students in AIM, both a graduate and undergraduate, receive a rigorous and broad education. The undergraduates study not only the fundamentals of economics and management, marketing and finance, but also science and technology, as well as social sciences and humanities and communication skills, both writing and oral. They graduate with highly developed analytical and problem-solving skills that employers value in all fields. AIM provides economic strength and growth to New York State as well. Just one example, as recently as 2008, we were able to document that there were more graduates from our undergraduate program in AIM that took jobs and settled in New York, contributing to its economy, than came to us as residents of the state of New York. So this program is, you might say, a reverse brain drain into the state of New York, an important contribution to its land grant mission. Today's announcement of the Dyson family's magnificent investment in the Dyson School acknowledges both this proud history and its continuing value, and it provides us with critically important support to further strengthen and build to even greater levels of visibility, accomplishment, and impact. We're tremendously excited about AIM's bright future and deeply and truly honored to announce the naming of the Charles H. Dyson School of Applied Economics and Management. I know that everyone here is as excited as I am about this occasion. I just want to say, as I'm concluding my 10 years as the Ronald P. Lynch Dean of CALS, how much it means to me that we're gathered here on this day to share this remarkable and celebratory occasion. Throughout my tenure as dean, as I said, I've benefited from John's extraordinary leadership and generosity. And there is no more fitting name for this school than Charles Dyson's. It is a name that will carry the kind of integrity and respect that we have come to recognize in the programs that will carry the name. So I'm delighted and honored and humbled to see it named today with your father's name. And so now I'm pleased to introduce Don Dyson, who, as you know, we're told by President Scorton, a graduate of 1965 from agricultural economics, as it was called when he graduated, and from our college. I invite you, John, to say a few remarks.
Thank you very much. I am here really as a representative of the whole family, and I hope you'll understand that my role in this, outside of some wonderful repartee with the provost, has been to be a catalyst and to bring the whole family together in support of both their father and their grandfather. When we started all this, many years ago, and there were some who I have to mention and thank along the way, Hunter Rawlings is the first one who had this idea, and I thank him and Elizabeth for coming today to celebrate this whole final achievement. And of course, my brothers, as the president mentioned, and John Moran, who was Dad's last living partner of Dyson Kushner Moran. When I called him, he lives in Florida now. I made the typical fundraising mistake. Now you'd think, with all the training I've had here at Cornell, I wouldn't do it. But I said, "Well, we're raising $25 million. Do you think you could give me $1 million?" And he said, "For Charlie, of course." Knowing that I should have asked for more. there are other reasons why this is has been done. I have to say, personally, I have been motivated to do this by the education I got here and the inspiration that I received from Professors Robinson and Professor Stanton and several others in the room. I saw Bud Stanton a little earlier, and he taught me how to do accounting, and I have to tell you, I've used it every day of my life. And it is the one course, Bud, that I said to my daughters when they came to the College of Agriculture that they had to take. And I said, "You've got to take accounting." They said, "Dad, it's so boring." And I said, "Yeah, I understand, but not it's not that boring at Cornell." And I don't want you sitting on a board of some institution and not understanding the accounting and having your good thoughts be ignored because you're a girl who or a woman who can't understand the figures, and the men will run circles around you. So that is was my contribution to women's liberation. And I heartily recommend accounting to everybody's daughters. When Lee was looking for, she went from here to Fordham, and when Fordham Law School, she was looking to go work in the district attorney's office. She was in this room, the size of this, with applicants for four positions to work for Bob Morgenthau, the famous district attorney of Manhattan, most prestigious law job in America. And she said to me, "Dad, there's no way I'm going to make it, as everybody's from Stanford and Harvard and Yale and Princeton and everything else." So she was called back to be one of 10 and then one of 3, and finally called and was given the job. And she had applied for a job in the Fraud Bureau. Very active in New York, as you can, as you can see. I can tell you, as a deputy mayor, they haven't got them all yet. But in one of those times when you know there is a merciful God watching after us, the skies parted, they picked Lee, and she said, "Why did you pick me?" And she said, "Well, you were the only kid of all those ones that applied that took accounting." So that helped, and what helped me to do this was new wonderful professors like the ones I had. Brian Wonsink is one of them, who is a genius and full of fun. And his only drawback in life is he has to drag my name around with him, but I'm doing my best to help him out. We've had great leaders here in this program. Dave Call is with us, who is the first one who even asked me would I do a professorship. And that has to be a long time ago. And he said, "I know you wouldn't name it for yourself, but would you name it for Ken Robinson?" And I said, "Okay." But in those days, the Ag College didn't have endowed professorships. He started it a long time ago. And, of course, we've had since then many other good deans. And Susan Henry and I have developed a friendship and a partnership that led me to believe after we got everything organized and you got certified and we raised the money for some scholarships and we raised some money for some professors to bolster the program, and we got accredited at I've forgotten what, and then we got to be 20-something, and then we got to be 14, and now at least some people think we're 5, and they're probably underrating us a little bit, but we'll get there. So this process began in the last 3 weeks. I mean, it's been an extraordinary whirlwind, I have to say, even for somebody who's used to whirlwinds. Because Mike Riley had the wit to sit me next to the provost at the going away dinner for Susan. And I noticed that he was on the program and also I was on the program. So I said to him, I'm not sure you're going to like what I have to say about our friends at Day Hall making yet another raid on the Agricultural Economics Department. But I see here on the schedule, you come after me, so that gives you a rebuttal. And so I said all the reasons why this ought not be moved. And he said in front of 200 people, I always thought that it ought to be the Dyson AEM school. And I'm not 100% sure, but for that conversation, if I would have been given the push to do this. Things are funny, right? This, we have been talking about this, Hunter and others, and I talked to Frank Rhodes yesterday, who's on his way to honor one of our really great Cornellians, who did the other part of this, the Johnson School. David Skorton has supported me in this. He's come visited me in the office on a bewildering set of issues, I think mainly to disguise the hope that he wanted to see this vision achieved. But I hope I did help you on procurement and some of the other issues that you did raise.
He's offered that.
I don't know how you're doing on the procurement, but anyway. Steve Ashley called me and said, do you know what they're going to do? They're going to take this our economics department. And we have a very, as you know now, a very proprietary feeling, those of us who went to agricultural economics. And he said, I'm going to send you a paper I wrote to the provost. Well, this paper was 8 pages long. And I don't know how many papers the provost reads or any papers long, but I imagine Steve's he might have. So I said, well, I need some help. I need somebody to negotiate with. And we've been working on this for years. You know, get me somebody to negotiate with, Steve. So he said, I'll take care of that. And on the way to the airport, Laurie Robinson listened to me. And sometimes a good listener is more important than anything else, you know. And I said to her, Laurie, this is really getting frustrating. I've been doing this for almost 7 or 8 years, and we're getting there bit by bit. We're chipping away at it, but how do we get this thing done? Well, we need somebody you can talk to. So somebody arrived, and his name was Charlie Flager, and he arrived in my office with a letter saying he had been authorized by Chairman Meinig, by the president, by the provost, by the dean, and virtually everybody in this room to negotiate on behalf of Cornell with me. So I said, okay, now we're in business, because I have a whole family to organize, and I have to have one person on this end. So Charlie did magic. I have to tell you, we were doing emails and vineyards in California, and he was running around finding a council's office, and he was going through the 5th and 6th drafts, and I was putting in annoying provisions like they can't move this out of the ag college, some of which led to long phone calls in the midst of board meetings, graduation ceremonies, and all the rest. We somehow managed to get through all those drafts, and we could not have done it without Charlie's dedication. It was virtually magic. I would get the emails all hours of the day and night. I'm on a faculty dinner now, but I'll get you the draft in a few minutes. Because I'm sending them to Peter and John Moran and Rob and everybody. And I have to say our family is especially pleased to be able to do this during the term, even though we rushed it a little bit to get the just there in time of Susan Henry. She has been an extraordinary dean and a great buddy of all of us in the family, and enjoys the admiration of us all. And with Jeff McCarthy and other people's help, we were able to organize a conspiracy to build the Susan Henry Terrace. Many people in this room helped me do that, including Janet McHugh. I didn't see Janet. Did she get here? No. Anyway, she was the librarian, the man, and was her inspiration. But we actually surprised you that day, I think, Susan.
That you did.
You know? And,
and
we had the then wine, which today we're forbidden because we didn't tell the state early enough. So if you think the state still has work to do, you can add that one on the list. Anyhow, I want to tell you a little bit about Charlie Dyson because I ought to say something about him. It's hard to summarize it all, but I'm going to tell you just a few things. He was a child of immigrants, like many successful people in America. He was an overachiever at his high school in Englewood, New Jersey. He learned accounting at night at what was then called Pace Institute. He later became the chairman and made it Pace University. He was the chairman for 15 years. He was the colonel in charge of all of the material supplies for the U.S. Army Air Corps during World War II. He was the chief financial officer of Textron. Got in an argument with the head of Textron because they said they ought to get out of textiles and into manufacturing, and so he got fired. Thank God. then created the leveraged buyout. As the president has said, I should add the friendly leveraged buyout, families that wanted to sell their company. He was widely admired for his kindness and his charm, especially, and his courtesy. And Frank Rhodes and I shared some stories of his meetings with Dad when they would meet in New York. He had a special place for education and learning, partly because during the Depression he got a full scholarship to Columbia, but he couldn't take it because he was the oldest child, and my grandfather was a union carpenter, and in those days there wasn't much work, so Dad couldn't do it. He had to go to work, and he then went to Pace at night. I have to say, in hindsight, Mr. President, we were lucky. Otherwise, who knows what Columbia would be getting today.
I thought of it. Queasy.
Yeah. Anyway, he created scholarships, as you mentioned, because he wanted other poor kids to have the kind of education that he didn't. When he left me at the University Hall number 6, now thankfully replaced by the leadership of Hunter and the rest of you, he was a little surprised that a fancy place like Cornell would have cinder block walls. Having been the son of a carpenter, he noticed those sort of things. Anyway, he gave me a great clap on the back and said, you know, this country is great. I had to go to night school, but you get to go to day school. Might have been the only time Cornell was ever called a day school. But for him, it was a generational change and a sign of America and the progress that America had made. Anyway, in the fall, we're going to have a little more of a to-do. And the rest of the family will come. I hope we'll arrange it enough in time to round them up. Peter is in London with his son, who's an engineering student here, who's finishing his term abroad. Rob is lost off in the West with his racing team. my youngest daughter is looking for an apartment in New York. The oldest one has three children who are still in school. And I won't bore you with all the rest of it, but if we do enough in advance, we could even get the permit for wine and the rest of the family. And we'll get John Moran, who wants to come also. So for today, I want to thank Cornell, and I want to thank Charlie Dyson, and say God bless you. And to say we are number five now, courtesy of all the work Susan and everybody did. But I think it's only fair warning to 1, 2, 3, and 4 to say Cornell is rising, and even still higher above.
Let's repair to the Susan Henry Terrace and drink whatever we can find.
Thanks, everyone.